Coming to you from an underground bar in coastal South Alabama, I'm your host Roy.
And I'm your host Ben.
And these are sea stories from the Coast Watchers Club, where we chat with you about tiki culture and history, bars, drinks, music, and movies, anything related to Polynesian pop.
We are back to Sea Stories from the Coast Watchers Club. This week, we welcome our guest and friend Nodia Gals, owner of the Haberdasher, a cocktail bar in downtown Mobile. We are going to recap last week's Mobile Tiki Week and discuss our favorite cocktail from last week, as well as the future of Tiki Week. But first, the cocktail of the week is Royal Hawaiian Mai Tai. And we're also going to be trying the new Myers Rum Single Barrel that has been aged in Sazerac rye cask barrels and compare it to just the original Myers Rum. So, Nodia, welcome to the podcast for your first time. And my question for you guys is, how are you guys doing after 2022 Mobile Tiki Week and the recovery process?
Well, thanks for having me. First of all, it's fun to be here. I'm excited about the podcast. And, also I just really like hanging out with you guys. And Tiki Week 22 was pretty brutal. You know, I think I missed one night because it was a little too brutal. You know, I think I went Monday night, Tuesday night, took Wednesday night off, and then did the rest. And it took a few days of recovery, but recovery was hard because we had to deconstruct the bar.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So we had to get right back on the horse.
Yeah, and he missed all the build up, so I didn't feel bad about you having to break down.
Yeah. No, so. I actually wasn't stuck, but I was in Africa until the 19th. And for a while there, it didn't look like I was going to make it back, you know, in time for Tiki Week. Well, in the beginning of Tiki Week. So I was, so it was up to these guys to decorate most of it. I showed up on, Monday.
Yeah, and you popped in on Sunday, but just to say hello.
Yeah, but really helped on Monday. But yeah, I almost missed the beginning of it. So, you know, kudos to these guys for doing all they did.
Yeah, I was definitely planning on helping out with the build like I did last year, but then my back went out, quotation.
air quotes.
But
likely story.
Yeah, likely story. But I got
that's
it.
That's all right. We got it done. Go ahead.
Yeah. No, I got there on Monday and Friday and Saturday night. So, and
it's a pretty good run. Yeah.
Yeah, I backed out of Wednesday night. Made some people mad.
Well, I was really impressed. Because as a guy who wasn't around for, the leading weeks up to Tiki Week, I was really impressed when I walked in there and how it came together and how everybody just, really busted their ass to just make it a fantastic thing. And because I was kind of like, a few weeks before Tiki Week, it was, even Roy was like, man, I don't know if we should have Tiki Week because, it's been such a difficult year and after the pandemic and it was just, everybody's tired, So it's like, okay, well, this might be a downscaled Tiki Week.
Yeah.
Didn't think much of it. And when I got back to Mobile, I was like, damn. This is actually
It was scaled up.
It was definitely, so I was really impressed. And the whole Haberdasher staff and other bars as well, but I'm ice on the ground on my staff. And it's like everybody just worked their butts off and everybody came in every day, early and just prepped all day, every day. So yeah, it was a team effort. And this was probably the biggest team effort of all the, Tiki Weeks we've had, all the involvement in Tiki stuff. So it was really, really impressive.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely shout out to, our bartenders. Like you said, everybody was there pretty much every day, whether or not they were scheduled to work or not.
Yeah.
Making it happen, 3 hours before opening, 3-4 hours before opening to, we unintentionally blew it up. Like you said,
this was the biggest amount of bars involved in Tiki Week, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And shout out to all those bars. I hope everybody had a great week. I haven't had a time to kind of debrief everybody and see how everything went for them. But just judging on the amount of people I saw out on the street, decked out in floral gear and lays and whatnot, I hope everybody did well. So I think
this was the first year when driving down or walking or driving down Dauphin, you see more tiki ware than not.
Right.
You know? Yeah, so it was really impressive, and I was like, awesome.
If you didn't know what was going on, you'd be real confused.
Yeah.
About,
yeah.
Like, I saw a couple of those faces, too, like just like walking down the street, and I was decked out, and they were like, what is this guy?
I mean, I showed up there Saturday night, and I have a tiki outfit with a matching shirt and pants, you know, and it looks like pajamas, to be honest.
Cabana set.
Yeah. You know, but, and I was walking, I'm like, man, I look like an idiot. But then I look up, I'm like, wait a minute, everybody is wearing tiki stuff. So I felt right at home immediately, you know.
Yeah.
One amongst the masses.
Yes, one amongst the masses.
I didn't make it to a lot of other bars other than Haberdasher, but the ones that I did go to were packed.
Yeah.
And, you know, I also talked to a couple other managers and owners, and they were like, man, this has been a great year for this.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's good to see.
I talked to a bartender from a bar that wasn't involved, and they said, man, didn't know Tiki Week was this big, you know? So it's something that, you know, that's obviously going to grow. You know, we're hoping to grow it and make it something really special for downtown Mobile. And like you said, you know, I didn't go to all the bars, but I went to about four or five of them, and business was booming. It was great.
Yeah. You know? And I actually saw a couple, like, bars on Instagram late in the week just all of a sudden post, like, a tiki menu.
Which is awesome. That's great. Yeah.
It's like, and then, you know, random coffee shops and things like that.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, the merrier, for sure.
Yeah, no, sure.
So, one of the things, I know, Roy, you got around to some of the other bars, too. First of all, I'm going to, like, separate the Haberdasher from everybody else. What was your favorite drink not at the Haberdasher?
Ooh, not at the Haberdasher.
Yeah, favorite cocktail not at the Haberdasher.
Ooh, now that's a tough question. I had a few at the Sidecar Lounge that I really enjoyed. I can't remember the name of it.
I might be able to help you.
Please.
So my favorite one, and I'm gonna go ahead and give you two because the only other two places I really went to were Merry Widow and Sidecar.
Yeah.
The Sidecar, the Pistachio Mai Tai, was tremendous.
There was another one that I had that I really liked, and I can't remember the name for the life of me.
Was it the one we were leaving?
Yeah.
Saturday night?
Yep.
Or Friday night?
Yep. That was it.
It was the Nielsen.
That's it.
Harry Nielsen?
Yeah. Yeah. I really,
as in put the lime in the coconut.
Yeah. 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 So yeah, like, that was the one. Yeah.
And I was talking to, was it Randy?
Randy.
That is exactly like one of my first drinks I was going to make for this bar was a Harry, Dr. Nielsen's elixir, which was almost the same recipe he put together. And I was
really?
I'm glad I get to try it because now I'm going to add it to my.
Well, you know, and also, you know, just going to the Sidecar, you know, and you had to wait a while to get your tiki drink because he was making a ton of them.
Yeah.
You know, everybody that came in there wanted a tiki drink.
And for those of you not Mobile, Sidecar is like a side bar of a restaurant, a very small place. And, you know, usually one bartender works. Actually, the bar back there is only fit for one bartender.
Yeah, it's tiny.
And he had a runner out there.
Yeah.
But he was slinging those drinks. And he had a full, everybody, all the tables inside were taken. And then tables outside and people just standing around too.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
He was doing good. And then I'll say Merry Widow. The Crave Wave is the one I tried there, and that was really good.
Okay.
Oh, actually, yeah.
They did a good job with
that. That's a shout out to Nick Knable, who used to work for both the Haberdasher and the bike shop. So that was one of his drinks for the bike shop, one of his original cocktails for when the bike shop was around and participating in Mobile Tiki Week.
Yeah.
And it is a fantastic drink. I'm really glad that they're including it. Because keeps that drink alive.
So he's working in Birmingham, right?
Yeah, Cayo Coco.
Cayo Coco.
Which is a rum bar, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I just learned about that, I think, a week before Tiki Week, that was open or it's been there.
It's nice. I've been a couple of times. It's Andrew Collins from Collins Bar. It's one of his places.
Nice.
Josh Schaff, who used to be the head honcho over at Collins Bar, runs it. And I've got some friends there. We got Nick Knable and my friend Allie works there. And a few other people that do or have worked there before, too. It's a really cool spot. So if anybody that's listening is ever up in Birmingham and you're itching for, it's not a tiki bar, but they do, it's a rum bar, and they do a lot of tiki drinks and they really excel at them.
Yeah. That's a drink that I had too, because he told me about Nick Knable told me about a drink. So that's the one I had.
Yeah, it was good.
I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Nick Knable is a talented bartender, really talented. Yeah. So if you're ever in Birmingham, go see old Knable.
Yeah, he works there a lot too. Yeah. That's his only job. So oh, okay, you can usually catch him behind the bar on the weekends for sure.
Yeah.
What about you, Roy? What was your
my favorite drink outside of, like you said, outside of my own bar, which it was hard to escape because we were just, you know, busy and I had to help out where I could. I would say that my favorite drink elsewhere was all the nice ice cold beers that I had at the other bars. I did have some other tiki drinks and they were all fantastic, but you know, you got to take a break every once in a while.
Can I just chime in here? Because you're right. I think it was Saturday night late. I was at Merry Widow and all I wanted was a tequila soda.
Uh-huh.
Because, you know, a drink with almost no taste, just, you know, straight up, you know, something almost salty, you know.
I mean, obviously we all love tiki drinks and all that stuff, but, you know, doing it for a week and only drinking that is like not sustainable to the body.
Oh yeah,
to the palate, all that, you know. So yeah, I definitely made sure to like take breaks from that. I was often walking around Hab with a tiki mug that had Southern Prohibition Devil's Harvest in it, or a High Life that I'd poured out into it.
Yeah,
well, and I will say, you know, something about tiki drinks that people kept asking me about is like, or telling me, it's like, man, it's so much sugar. And they're like, actually, like, it's not as much sugar as the, I mean, it's boozy. Mm-hmm. It's super boozy, especially at the Hab, because we don't use a lot of, you know, cheap mixers and stuff. So it's boozy, you know, so you're getting a lot of booze all the time. So I needed a break from something sweet and boozy at the same time, you know.
That was great about the menu this year, is especially at the Haberdashers, there was plenty of things that weren't necessarily like, nothing's really overly sweet, but things that were more like an old fashioned, or like one was kind of, was it the Bebida Playera?
Bebida Playera, yeah.
That was more, I call that like a tiki margarita.
Yeah, like it was a tequila based tiki cocktail, but it did hit all the necessary notes to be tiki. It had all spice in it and kind of Caribbean juices. And that was a really fantastic drink. That was a Marshall Kilbourne cocktail.
Shout out,
good for him. I had one of those. Obviously, I had them all at some point, but I sat down with one of those and really enjoyed it. So I wouldn't be surprised if that pops up maybe on just a regular menu, which we may have talked about this before on this podcast. We sometimes use Mobile Tiki Week. Those are always brand new drinks just for that week. So sometimes we use that as kind of like R&D for future menu placements. Because if you come up with a fantastic cocktail and only serve it for a week, it's you're doing everybody a little bit of a disservice.
Yeah. You know, and that's another thing that impressed me, is coming up with a cocktail list that's brand new. Not, you know, we're not just doing Mai Tais and painkillers and, you know, typical tiki stuff, you know, coming up with a whole new list on short notice.
Yeah.
Was very impressive. I just, you know, and every single drink was just phenomenal.
To go back to like the other bars for 1 second before we get into like more of the Haberdasher, but the trait, explain the Trader Roy, not the Trader Roy, but the trait or
Traitor.
Trader Roy.
You know,
Roy. Did you get that? I can't remember what was in it or what it was.
We're talking about the Traitor Roy at the Alabama Music Box,
yeah.
So that's part of the Alabama Music Box Tacky Week menu. So that's kind of like a lighthearted dive bar approach to tiki. It's a little less, you know, serious and heavy on the mixology, you know.
And the Jimmy Buffett.
Yeah, more Jimmy Buffett. So I happen to have that menu here, right here. So I'll just read it. It's Traitor, as in like Benedict Arnold, Traitor. Roy's penicillin shot. Old Traitor Roy has been against shots for the last 3 years. Quote, the science just don't make sense to me. He drunkenly slurs. What do you think they're really up to? ? That being said, this is the one shot he swears by. It fixes you right up and keeps the ball and chain from asking questions. I don't have a fucking clue. This was written by old Nick Shantazio, and who knows what kind of state of mind that, you know, he was in when writing this stuff. But I enjoy it, and I appreciate it. I did have one. I do not remember it. So I have no further insight on the Trader Roy's penicillin shot.
Man, sadly, I never made it to the Music Box. I never made it.
They do a really, really good job of, like I said, kind of taking the piss out of the whole thing in a very playful way.
In a playful, positive way.
It's more homage than, like, insulting, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, for sure.
So.
Yeah, that was great. All right, so let's talk about your favorite drink at Haberdasher this year.
You know, I want to say that the Tiger's Breath was my favorite, only because it's so different than your typically, like, what you think of tiki. You know, it's like, it was different. It was more cocktail. You know, it was more like a cocktail, so I can sit there and feel like I'm drinking a cocktail that was boozy, and but it was a really pretty drink. And it, you know, it sounds weird, but the drink was pretty.
Yeah,
you know?
It was stunning. It's definitely a visual seller. Yeah, for
it was
sure,
a visual
as well
seller.
As being an awesome cocktail.
Yeah, and it was, and I told some people about it, and then from there, it seemed the people I told really liked it. And
yeah.
At one point, it was the best-selling drink of the week, right?
All said and done, it was the best-seller of the week.
Yeah.
And if you want to mentally create this drink in your mind, it was cachaça, so Brazilian cane rum, Clément Coco Mahina, which is a really nice Martinique coconut rum, like naturally flavored, not like Malibu or whatnot.
Yeah.
Grenadine, like real pomegranate grenadine, lime, pineapple, and...
Then topped with
kava.
With the kava,
yeah,
right?
Topped with kava.
So
and served up.
I'm a champagne guy, so I like bubbles, you know, and that just, and then a lot of people really liked the orchid on top of it.
Yeah.
And the orchid towards the end of it became really, really, like, it was just a stunning piece, you know. So I really
like
that.
One thing I noticed on it, and that drink was one of my favorite, I mean, it was up there for me too, was the lime zest on top. You could really, like, it was like a garnish that you could, that really came through in the drink. Like,
yeah, you could really smell it, taste it. It was a functional garnish for sure.
But I will say, in second place for me was probably the zombie, only because it is so boozy.
Yes.
So you don't need much more than a zombie. You know, if you have a zombie,
you really don't,
but you can sit there and you don't taste a lot of sweet. You don't taste, it's just a boozy drink, and it's comforting is probably the wrong word, but that's what I feel drinking that thing, because I'm like, okay, finally I'm drinking a drink that it's getting me there, you know. It's like, okay, and but this is it.
Yeah,
after this one I gotta get out of here.
You could start with one of those and then nurse a beer for the rest of the night.
Yeah,
good. Yeah, so our zombie this year was pretty close to a 1934 zombie. I think I switched the, instead of, I think the original 34 calls for gold Virgin Islands rum, and we go way off of that and use Gosling's Blackstrap in the place of that rum. Plus there's three other rums. There's a little Stiggins Fancy in there, which is non-traditional. But for the rest of the build, it's basically a 1934 zombie, and they are quite strong,
but
also very, very delicious. I love that drink.
By the way, I think you're only allowed to have two, right? The bartenders will cut you off after two.
Yeah.
Or in theory.
In theory,
they'll cut you off,
that's,
you know.
You know, that's kind of an homage to, you know, Don the Beachcomber. That's his drink.
Yeah, okay.
He's the inventor of the zombie. And they would famously put on the menu that there was a limit per customer. So it's a little bit of a throwback to that. I would not advise anybody to drink any more than two.
Yeah.
But we're not the drink police.
And there was a few nights that I wished I'd just stuck with two.
So. Oh, you had more than two a couple times?
Yeah. Well, I had one night I had two, and then my girlfriend shows up with what she calls a baby zombie from Marshall. But it was just a zombie in a
regular glass.
In an old fashioned glass, you know, so it was just a regular zombie.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna stay with two and a half zombies for my own justification.
Yeah, and we're still serving that right now I don't know, by the time this comes out, we might be out. But
what about you, Roy? What was your
favorite
drink on the Haberdasher menu?
Oh man, the Bebida Playera, I did really enjoy, like I said, a lot, and I'll probably bring that back. Siren Seas, which was Haitian rum and banana juice and sherry blend. It's got all the typical Tasha Tupa trademarks on it. That was her drink. That one's really great too. Also, it had a papaya yogurt, I believe.
Yeah.
Because she was working on that drink and she had the flavor down, but the body wasn't right, you know, and body's important. So we wanted to fatten that drink up a little bit, and she came up with the idea of using papaya yogurt, and it worked fantastically. It's that like, one, that's a great drink.
It's like such a random ingredient. Like, man, just, like when I read that,
I love
like,
papaya though, man. Papaya is awesome.
It's underutilized.
Love that fruit, especially for something like tiki. You know, it's an island fruit,
right? Papaya and guava are two of my favorite.
Same here.
Flavors.
And also passion fruit. Well, you guys call it passion fruit. We call it Grenadilla. It's a passion fruit. And so those three things I really like for.
We, as in South Africans?
South Africans and probably, I don't know, maybe just South Africans. I don't know.
And what's the word again?
Grenadilla.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. That's new to me. That's interesting.
Yeah. I'm not sure who else uses Grenadilla, but to be honest.
Yeah, we had passion fruit in the Archipelago, which we had last week with, or last episode with Allison. Which
was on the menu as well.
Too. Yeah, that was on the menu. And for a long time now, since I started getting into tiki, the combination of pineapple and coffee is one of my favorite flavor combinations of all time. And it's like, it pops up in classic tiki cocktails for sure. And I've used it in a lot of mine. It's without trying to be a one trick pony. It's definitely a kind of a go to for me. But the Archipelago goes passion fruit and coffee, and I like it just as much.
So I would say my favorite was also the Tiger's Breath. So I'm just going to give a couple other shout outs to some other drinks. One was the Mutiny on the Bounty.
Mutiny on the Delta. Yeah.
Mutiny on the Delta. Sorry. Yeah. It's the takeoff of the movie.
Yeah.
Which is kind of, it was the drink that came in like a punch bowl, either a conch or a volcano.
Classic volcano bowl. Yeah.
So I was really expecting, I think, and I told you that night, I was like, oh, so is this just kind of like a regular punch that, you know, kind of a generic punch you just make because people like the, you know, the bowls and they want to take it back and the flame on the bowl and everything.
And which, of course, those were popular as hell, though.
I mean, Sergio served four within 10 minutes when I was sitting at the bar.
Yeah, Roy called me and said, hey, do we have any backups at the warehouse? Because in the first 10 minutes, people ordered all the bowls.
Yeah,
they
ran out of bowls. Yeah. Which then Roy, so I didn't really have anybody to share one with. So Roy made me a single version, which I thought that was it was definitely better than just a run of the mill punch. I mean, it was, you could tell.
Thank you.
Really put together well.
That's always the last drink to come together on the menu. And I think I even came up with that version of it, this year's version of it, after I'd submitted the menus to print. That's why, like, on the menu, it's a generic or like nondescript description of the drink. Things that I knew would be in it, a rum blend, exotic juices and spices, etc. That worked out. It's Cruzan aged rum, Frangelico, which is a new one for us for tiki drinks, black coconut rum, like dark coconut rum, and then passion fruit juice, lime.
Yeah. And then,
It's, those drinks are always fun to come up with because it has to be simple. And it has to be because as opposed to one cocktail, which you could sell to somebody based on their particular likes, their individual likes, you have to come up with a drink that you think will satisfy a number of different, like, palates, you know. So like, this drink is going to be served at a minimum to like two people, at a maximum, you know, like we with the conch bowls, you know, we'll pass out 10 straws per, you know. So
yeah, especially if a big group's there.
But that being said, it can't just be a one-dimensional flat, you know, uninteresting drink, like you said, just a quote-unquote regular punch. So but I'm glad you liked it.
Yeah. And then I also thank you for putting the Coast Watchers grog made the menu.
And, it did. Sold a hell of them, hell of a lot of them too.
Yeah, and it was really cool to sit at the bar. I was there on Monday night and just sat at the bar and kind of hung out. And it was really cool to see people just walk up and order them.
That, by the way, was Ben's drink.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Covered that in a previous episode.
Yeah, we covered that second episode. We talked about it, and it's kind of like the signature drink of my home bar. So.
Yeah.
It was
cool. And I really enjoyed it. That was a really good drink. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was cool because, like, I walk in and, like, Nick Dole immediately was like, oh, dude, we love your drink, man. It's so good. And
which, by the way, Nick Dole did Tiger's Breath, right?
Yeah.
Shout out to Nick Dole on that drink. So it was a fantastic drink, and a lot of people liked that one. So it wasn't a bad one in the batch.
Yeah, it really wasn't. Like, it, every drink on the, and I tried every drink on the menus, except I didn't go for a zombie.
Yeah. Roy, can you tell how did you guys do the volcano? What was the fire in the volcano, and how did you guys make that work? Because I get a lot of people asking me
what this was. Yeah. So a lot of people use a sugar cube soaked with 151, and we don't do that. It presents a couple of different problems. First, the 151 rum creates a blue flame, which can be like almost invisible.
You know, true.
Take it to your table, it's still on fire. You can barely see it. So that's kind of dangerous. Also, lighting a sugar cube creates just a sticky, sludgy mess in those little volcanoes. So that's a kind of problem as well. So we use a crouton, try to get the, you know, an unseasoned crouton, and we use lemon extract, which is basically the oils from the lemon peel. Okay,
that's interesting.
And they're like highly flammable. Yeah. If you see a bartender ever flame an orange or lemon peel, that's what that is.
Yeah, okay. Wow.
So yeah, we soak the crouton with that, and then we also fill, you know, atomizer spray bottles with lemon extract as well.
That's interesting.
And that creates a nice bright yellow or orange flame that's like highly visible.
Because somebody's like, do you guys soak your croutons in kerosene? And I was like, oh, I guess.
I will say the smell throughout Tiki Week when we're igniting all that lemon oil, it definitely has a fuel kind of, not in an off-putting way. Yeah. That's another thing.
Yeah. I think it smells great.
Yeah, the burnt lemon extract actually smells good to me.
Smells good, really good.
So the smell of a good tiki bar is fantastic. All the spice and flame and whatnot.
There you go, folks.
It was funny.
No kerosene was used in the making of these drinks.
Everything was edible.
Yeah, exactly.
So, the flowers, the fire,
everything,
the
croutons, was natural.
Everything.
I'd be sitting there at the bar, and Nick, all of a sudden, he could tell I wasn't paying attention. He'd be like, Hobie, you may want to lean back, bud. And then all of a sudden, this flame was coming right in my face. And I'm like, beard, check the beard.
I mean, that's good to know as a guy who has set his own bar on fire with Sambuca. The flaming shambukas, you know, this it's good to know that we use a lemon extract for our fire now. I'm sure my insurance agent will like that too.
We can cut that out if we need to. Like in the future.
Yeah, no shit.
Could get a cease and desist. You know, just,
pause that one, cut it out.
Never happened.
Insurance hike.
God. So let's kind of talk about where you guys see the future, like in the future, what you want to see with Tiki Week. You know, I have a few comments, but let's start with you, Nadia. Like, what in your mind, if you could kind of make a perfect Tiki Week, what in addition to what you're doing now?
Yeah. Well, you know, all kudos to Roy, because Tiki Night and Tiki Week was really Roy's brainchild, and something that, you know, that he brought to the table and just kind of blew up. And for the longest time, I was like, man, we can probably make this something, you know, a little bit more mobile, a little bigger, but we really haven't had time or energy or the resources to make it, you know, take it to the next level. So as I told you earlier, I think a tiki bar in Mobile would just make us, I don't know, it's a cool thing to have in a city, is something like Tiki Bar. And people don't think about Tiki Bars. People don't. People think it's gimmicky. People think it's tacky, it's cheesy. But cities with Tiki Bars, I mean, it's cool. It's, people love it. It's always packed and busy. But for our Tiki Week, for instance, I just think we want to grow it to where we can have, close the streets down, you know, and have a full event, like a full luau. You know, where it's the streets are closed and everybody is there for Tiki Week. It's just a closed thing. And so hopefully we can grow it to the point where it's that. You know?
And that was like one of the initial Tiki Nights.
Yeah.
Was like you closed off the street. This is at the old Hab.
Yeah.
Where you closed off the streets and had a band. I think it was Modern El Dorado playing.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're smoking the pig outside and everything, which you did this year too, but it was like before.
So I would like to incorporate all that, close the street down, have a band, have people just in a party atmosphere, in a luau atmosphere, you know, just bring whatever you want, but, you know, grow it to where this is so Mobile as Mardi Gras will be to Mobile. Like, man, we know Mobile for Tiki Week. You have a fantastic Tiki Week. Because Mobile is known for good events. Beer Fest, Mardi Gras, like all kinds of good events. Like, if we can grow Tiki Week to something like, hey, this is something that we created at the Haberdasher. And, you know, like I said, Roy is the brainchild of it. You know, I think it'll be really cool addition to the city because people think Mobile is kind of funky, kind of weird. Let's go down that track and just make it even more, you know.
What about you, Roy? Like, what's your mindset on the future?
I definitely mirror all that. One thing that I've been wanting to do for a while and just kind of hasn't happened yet, but I'm pretty dedicated to make it happen before next year is kind of transition from just this being like a cocktail centric festival to something a little more like in like tiki culture, you know. Yeah. I'd like to have some educational seminars, whether that be about rum or tiki history or tiki cocktails or just the art forms surrounding it, mm-hmm. all that kind of stuff. I'd like to expand that in that direction a little bit, and we have the contacts to do so.
Oh yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm.
Just gotta make it happen, and I think we've probably piqued a lot of people's interest this year that are probably going to do a little bit of their own research and like get into it for more than just a week and
yeah.
kind of like
yeah, I agree.
You know,
yeah. Hopefully they're listening to the podcast.
Yeah, for sure. It, like, yeah, that should
well,
be.
Well, I mean, it starts here. It starts with something like this. It's right. like Tiki Week at Haberdasher, and then it spreads downtown in a podcast where a few guys are
right.
you know, really excited about this kind of stuff. You know.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's about it. Like and like you said, just growing the thing, just in general, like you know.
Well, you know, I've also looked in Austin's having a Tiki Week, and they're calling it Texas
Tiki Week. Oh, yeah, really? Yeah,
which is I think it's this week.
Oh really?
And so I was kind of looking at what they did and compared it to, and they were doing it's similar. They but except it's mainly I believe at Tiki Tatsuya.
There's a
couple other bars. Yeah, you know, one thing I think including is that would be a hit is having like a marketplace. And finding a space to have that marketplace like downtown during the whole week and having it open. You know, you don't even have to be open during the days; just at nights, like during like when people are walking around. You know, having vendors out there where it's on people's mind. Yeah. They're like, okay, I'm going to buy
a tiki mug or a t-shirt
or something like that.
Or lays or whatever it is.
So, Nadia, we have a few questions here for you. Kind of just, we're going to ask these questions to all of our guests to get some answers.
Yeah, shoot.
Yeah. Number one, outside of Tiki Week, you go to your, not local, but, you know, if we're in a city, you go to a tiki bar. What's your favorite tiki drink you're looking for? Or what's the favorite tiki drink you've ever had?
You know, that's a really tough question because there's so many. And it's, you know, in Tiki Week, you have the same ingredients. You know, it's rum, right? It's rum-centric type of ingredients. So I think I want to go with a Singapore Sling.
Okay.
Because I like gin. I'm a gin guy. So, you know, Singapore Sling has some gin in it. I do like a Mai Tai, a good Mai Tai, but, you know, a Singapore Sling, I think, is the one that I'll go to because it's nice and light and I can just sip on it and enjoy it, you know.
Okay, so what is your favorite tiki bar that you've been to?
If I have to go back, and to be honest, there hasn't been that many. Like, was it Tiki Tatsuya in Austin?
Yeah.
But, you know, to me, that was not really as much a bar as a restaurant, you know, because it was, we all went. And it was fantastic. Just the decor was awesome. The drinks were great. The whole experience was fantastic. But besides that and Haberdasher's Trader Roy's, I think that bar in Fiji we went to, it's not a tiki bar. But then again, all bars in Fiji, tiki bars.
Yeah.
You know, because they're all Polynesian.
All right. And then so what's a tiki bar that you would like to visit that you haven't yet?
There's a few of them. And the more I get into tiki, obviously that list will grow.
Yeah.
One of the first ones, and you and I have talked about it, and I think we've talked about it too, is Max's.
We have.
In Grand Rapids.
Yeah.
Max's South Seas.
Max's South Seas.
South Seas in Grand Rapids, Michigan. I really want to visit that one and sometime soon. You know, I want to go to that.
Now we're going to head down to Roy's end of the bar and talk about a few things on this episode. We're going to talk about the Royal Hawaiian Mai Tai. And kind of tell you what's the difference between that and a regular Mai Tai. And then we're going to have a live tasting We've got a regular Myers rum as kind of like a base. And then a Cottage Hill package over in Mobile, they had a single barrel Myers rum that has been aged in a Sazerac rye barrel. So it should be interesting.
That sounds really good.
Yeah. See what the difference between the two is. So, Roy, what do you got for us, bud?
Well, we've been sipping on these Royal Hawaiian Mai Tais, which was a 1953 creation from good old Trader Vic, Victor Bergeron. Obviously, he came up with the eponymous 1944 Mai Tai in 1944. Yeah. So this was, you know, some years later. He was contracted by Matson, which was a line of like passenger ships, like cruise ships, essentially. Okay. That did a lot of traveling through the South Seas, like from the Americas. But they also owned some hotels, including the Royal Hawaiian Hotel in Waikiki. So this was essentially like what he came up with to be a lot of the hotels in this like boom time era of like tiki drinks and tiki bars and South Seas travel and whatnot. A lot of these hotels and cruise lines and airlines would have what we would call a welcome drink, which is just is exactly what it sounds like. Yeah. Like you get on the ship, you get one of these. You get to the hotel, you get one of these. They're complimentary. So this was his version of a welcome drink for the Royal Hawaiian Hotel and also for the Matson passenger ships. It is a Mai Tai. It's just kind of a slight deviation from the 44 formula. This one has a trio of rums. It just specifies light rum, which doesn't specify anything at all, really. Dark Jamaican rum and Demerara rum, presumably aged Demerara. Orange Curacao, and those are typical ingredients in a 44 Mai Tai. Not necessarily that rum blend, but just rum and orange Curacao. Orgeat and simple syrup, also in a 44 Mai Tai. But then we deviate a little bit with pineapple juice, orange juice, and not only lime, but lime and lemon juice.
Okay.
Like a 3-to-1 blend, lime to lemon juice. So I still prefer a 44 Mai Tai for sure. This is a pretty one-note drink. I mean,
you can tell this like kind of pleases the masses.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, absolutely. 44. And to be completely fair, we only used one rum in this drink versus that 3-rum blend, which might open up that drink a lot more. To be honest, I've never made one of these before today. Like,
oh really?
Yeah, no, I've never had one. And I'll start with my own perceptions of Myers rum. Myers is rum. I just noticed that it's literally M.
It says it right there.
MYERS'S. Myers is rum.
So their last name is Myers.
Yeah.
And it's his rum.
But, you know, I don't know. We don't have.
Let's not get into grammar. Here. You wouldn't need the extra.
Just no apostrophe.
Yeah.
Just
so, Myers rum. Myers is a brand of Jamaican rum that's been around since the late 1800s, I want to say. It's the brand has changed hands a handful of times. Now it's owned by Sazerac Co., which is why the single barrel bottles.
Because I mean, this plastic bottle with Myers apostrophe S rum is something you would typically just walk by because it doesn't look, you know,
right.
But this Sazerac, you know, single barrel looks something. Okay, I'm gonna give it a thought.
So to be completely honest, I have not had regular Myers in years, like, and definitely not since I started getting into like rum myself, like interested in like actual like good rum. So you know, my impression of Myers rum or what I think about when I think about a Myers rum is shitty beach drinks, you know, at crappy beach bars whatever, or getting like a real terrible Mai Tai with tons of pineapple and grenadine, like you said, with a Myers float. This is like
the float,
this is like the float rum.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how that started. Like, I'd be interested to learn that.
Well, like at those bars, they have Bacardi and everything. That's the rum they're going to use. But then Myers is like their top shelf.
Right. You know,
they're kind of like, oh, we're going to float a Myers on top because that's the expensive stuff. And
what if we get like a government grant to like do a historical documentation of how Myers became the float rum?
Yeah.
Because it totally is. Like, go down and get a Bushwhacker down on the beach, Myers float.
Yeah.
Or 151. It's one or the other. But shitty Mai Tai, Myers float.
Yeah.
You know? So anyway, like I said, I haven't had it in many years. So we're going to try some regular old, this is not single barrel, just the regular old cheap ass Myers rum. Right. So yeah.
We're tasting it against the single barrel.
Yeah, we're gonna do
yeah, so we will next. Have we'll be back
in this is bit. Our control, essentially.
Control.
Yeah. I definitely smell the funk.
It's very it's very scientific.
That's not the worst thing that I've ever had, it's by any means. It's pretty one note. It's Jamaican rum, but it doesn't really have a lot of funk. You know, yeah. It doesn't have a lot of that signature funk, but it is there.
It's definitely there.
It's there in the smell. It's there in the smell, but then once you taste it, it's like very alcohol forward, yeah. And then on the end of it.
I want to say the taste flavor is better than the smell. The smell is extremely alcoholic smell.
Yeah, real boozy.
Yeah, real boozy smell, but then the taste is, it's okay.
It's fine.
It's like drinking like a medium cheap booze.
It's drinking
a Jack Daniels or, you know, something like just,
it's not much mouthfeel.
Yeah.
I mean, you put that on the rocks, it's not.
But it's not terrible. It is not terrible.
I'd like to know, and I did a little bit of Myers research earlier today, but not a lot, like whether or not this is dosed. Like, do they add molasses or color?
You know what?
Almost certainly color. This color doesn't exist.
Yeah.
This deep, dark color naturally very often.
Yeah.
I would say because, like, the booziness of it doesn't stay long.
No, it doesn't. It evaporates really fast.
It almost goes sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah, you might be right there.
Yeah. So, and now we got the Myers Rum Single Barrel. Hand-selected Jamaican rum, selected by Cottage Hill Package, which is Mobile's like kind of boutique package store.
Yeah.
Very well known for craft beer selection.
Yeah.
Shout out to my boy Neil; he's their buyer. He knows everything about beer.
Just for reference, what's the price difference between these two?
So I bought this $7.50 of regular Myers at an ABC store for $20.
Okay.
The single barrel is bought from a private liquor store, which in Alabama,
it's a little bit higher.
So they have the unfortunate, like, they have to mark up the price.
Yeah.
So $40 for the for the single barrel, which still isn't bad for a single barrel rum,
for sure.
But I have seen, like, in other states, in my little bit of research that I did, it normally retails for about $30. But Cottage Hill's got to make theirs because they're probably paying $30 from the ABC.
Or more.
But anyway, single barrel rum, selected by them, aged in Sazerac rye barrels, as you mentioned, Ben. They didn't travel down to Jamaica to do that. I doubt they even do that. I doubt they even offer that for this product. So this was sent to them.
Maybe for like a big buyer or somebody.
Yeah,
like
that. Yeah. This was probably sent to them in a kit with a few different barrel samples, and they chose the one they liked the most. So. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's have it.
We're going to pour this up live.
Pouring it live.
Call in with your questions.
Ounce and a half, please.
Ounce and a half?
Ooh.
Ounce and a half.
How many fingers? So, initial impressions without smelling or tasting it. Like, to be honest, I don't expect a lot from this product because this is just regular old Myers which is oak aged. That's been dumped in a rye whiskey barrel for an indeterminate amount of time.
So it could be a month. It could be 6 months. We don't.
Yeah, I'm sure it's more than that. But we don't know. But I just don't see the barrel really affecting that.
A saison
too much. That secondary aging
oak barrel.
I mean, I can tell the smell.
No, it's much much better than
the smell is.
The regular apostrophe S. Yes.
The regular apostrophe, yes. Myers.
It smells much better.
It was named by a snake.
Myers.
All right.
Down the hole.
The hatch, please. Down the hatch. This is actually, it's better. It's much better.
This definitely takes on a more kind of like whiskey characteristic.
It doesn't have that boozy, like super alcoholic boozy taste or smell. It's more round. It's definitely more round.
It's definitely something I could like drink on the rocks.
Yeah, I mean, I can definitely sit and sip this. It's probably not something I still would seek out, but this is quaffable.
I can kind of smell the rye on the like smelling it, but as far as taste go, it doesn't really come through.
I mean, I can pour me another one right now.
It's the bottle's right there.
It is. I think I poured the smallest little tot or dram from both of you guys.
I'll take another finger of that.
All right.
Thank you, sir.
Not bad.
I'm pleasantly surprised.
I am too.
I think I can.
So this is on this. For local listeners. This is available at Cotton Chill Package Store, which is not a sponsor of the show.
No, we just happen to have it.
But you know, we are open to
guys at Cotton Chill. If you know,
a few bones thrown
you
this
want,
way,
you want us to buy anything? All our liquor for the show at Cotton Chill?
Absolutely.
I'm willing to make the drive for a sponsor.
So not to. Anything against Cottage Hill? Is this available anywhere else, or are they the only people carrying this?
The only place I might expect to eventually see is if the ABC itself
does it start selling.
They do some state barrel picks, but I haven't seen it yet, and who knows if they'll do it.
And Cottage Hill has plenty. I mean, they bought a whole...
They bought the barrel?
The barrel.
Oh, they bought the barrel, okay.
Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, they had cases, and they had some out on the barrel.
They may
have gotten the barrel. I'm sure they have other barrels there, but there it was all in a barrel.
It's
pretty cool.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome.
Definitely, Meyer's single barrel is definitely, like, exceeding expectations as far as I'm concerned.
I'll give it a thumbs up. I came in with pretty low expectations, and it has definitely exceeded those.
Yeah.
Especially for $40 a bottle.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's it for this episode. We'd like to thank Nodea for coming out and hanging out with us. You're welcome anytime.
Thank you, man. That was really good. I really enjoyed it, especially the free samples of...
Yeah. Don't expect that every time, man.
Well, as long as you keep bringing the high life, I'll be good.
All right, yeah.
Next time you bring something, how about that?
Oh, true. Okay. Done.
So we'd also like to thank Spike and the Hula Girls for providing the music for our show. Go listen to their music online and watch Spike and his YouTube channel, where he has Spike's Breezeway Cocktail Hour. It's a great show where he shows how to make tiki cocktails each week and has great guests. Also, thanks to Matt Bachner with Nutria Rodeo. You know him, don't you?
I've heard of him.
Yeah, he's alright.
That's the Bankhead Tunnel guy, right?
Yeah, Bankhead.
That's going to be his legacy, for sure.
It really is. But he helps us out with the podcast artwork, and you can check out his work and his t-shirts at thenutriarodeo.com. That's thenutriarodeo.com. Be sure to follow our podcast and leave a review. That helps us get to other listeners, either on Spotify, Apple. You can catch it just about at any one of your podcast platforms. And then visit our website at coastwatchersclub.com, where we'll soon be posting some pictures from trips. I know I said that last time. I'm planning on doing
it for real this time.
For real this time. I'm gonna do some blogs on Sunday. Also, give us a like on Instagram at Coast Watchers Club. Again, that's at Coast Watchers Club. And if you're interested in sponsorship, like Cotton Chill Package Store, if you are interested, give
shameless.
Us a, shameless, just shameless. Yeah, no deal. Yeah.
The Haberdasher.
Haberdasher. That's a company, right?
A small company.
Yeah, a small company.
In downtown Mobile, and we might be interested this show.
Hey, I'll make you a drink. Let's talk about it.
All right.
Yeah, so if you're interested in sponsorship, send us an email at info@coastwatchersclub.com. That's info@coastwatchersclub.com. Thanks, everybody, and aloha.
Mahalo, y'all.
Mahalo, y'all.